What's up, witches?
Hi, guys, gals, non-binary pals, all witches, wizards, and all other magical folk, and welcome to Until the Very End, a podcast all about Harry Potter. I'm Abby. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm Hufflepuff, and I am joined by my sister.
My name is Sarah. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm a Gryffindor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Guess what today is?
What is today?
It's a bonus episode. If you're new here, every 7 episodes, we do a bonus-ode. So these are just like random topics that we would like to cover or other people have suggested to us. And we take turns on these bonus episodes as well. So it's not our normal intro. We get to skip all that, which makes it super easy on me, the non-host of this session. I'm just going to sit over drink my drink, stare at myself in Zoom.
Yeah, not my sister, but I'm going to stare at me. That's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? Next time I'm going to be that one.
You are. Yes. So Abby gets to cover something this round.
Yes. And I'm not even like doing deep dives or anything. We're going to talk about unpopular opinions in the Harry Potter series.
Love that. When I saw that you wrote that down, I was like, I have no idea where she's taking this. So I'm just going to show up and be
supportive,
you know, a commentary, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. I pulled up a couple of different Reddit posts that just talk about unpopular opinions. I want to know what your take is on them and kind of just vibe off of that.
Let's go. I'm ready.
So the first one, some of these also are like, is that really an unpopular opinion? Or you just think that, like,
hey,
I don't know.
I am unpopular and I have an opinion. So it is an unpopular opinion. Yeah.
Some of them, I don't feel like they're necessarily unpopular, but they're just not as vocal as other opinions. So some of them are going to be like, ooh, that's a hot take. And then some of them are going to be like, okay. All right. First one we're going to talk about. These are all from Reddit, by the way. These are all different threads. All of them will be linked in our show notes. Here's mine. Snape wasn't entirely wrong about his judgment on Harry's personality. His sass, stubbornness, and constant disregard for the rules make him come off as arrogant. He's nowhere near the same league as James and cannot be compared. Different personalities molded by different circumstances, but there's definitely an arrogance about him. I still do like Harry. His personality flaws make him a more interesting character than some people give him credit for. You know what? I say I agree with this.
Yeah. I mean,
he can't be.
Is Harry kind of a dick sometimes?
Yeah.
Is Snape a dick? Yeah. You know how when you get like two like opposing strong personalities, that they just cannot help but hit heads. I think that's Harry and Snape for sure.
Oh yeah.
They're both arrogant and
they're both sassy in their own little ways. Harry's sass is definitely way higher.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Is he James level sass? I don't think so. Because with the memories that we see of James, ooh, that boy, he crossed lines for sure.
I was about to say, is James sassy or is James a bully?
I think he's a bully for sure.
I think thankfully, was a bully for a good amount of his time at Hogwarts.
Yeah. Harry is not a bully because he was bullied. You're one or the other, usually.
Not all the time. Sometimes it's like, you know, the circle of abuse. Like, I was bullied, therefore I will bully.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
I think James is definitely more of a bully. And especially in the book that we're covering now, we're going to see more of those bully things. Mm-hmm. But
do you think Lily being his mother evened out the bulliness? Or do you think how Harry was raised evens out the bulliness?
I would say
he could have taken it as far as James, but do you think it's like, what do they call it? Like nurture versus nature?
Yeah. I would say because he lost his parents so young and he wasn't able to see how his parents kind of reacted to a lot of things. It was because of how he was raised and how abused he was by his aunt and uncle. I think that if he was raised by James and Lily, if they had not died, if he was not the boy, the chosen one, all of that, he might have had still some arrogance to him. Because I think James is probably just inherently arrogant, and that would stem to Harry as well.
Do you think James may have grown out of it? Because he did get Lily, and I think Lily was smart enough to not date a bully, marry a bully. Mm-hmm. So maybe he did kind of grow out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was not a prefect, but he was made head boy. And prefect is your 6 and 7 or 5 and 6. And then head boy is your 7. So he obviously did do like a lot of self-reflection.
Growing
and learning in those 2 years. And especially as a kid, like that's kind of impressive.
It is truly.
Yeah. Because I was an idiot.
Everything was leveled out a little bit there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like that he changed and became a better person. I don't know. I'm going back and forth on this. I don't know if I like that James became a better person just because he wanted to date someone and he should have just like been a better person to become a better person. But also, if you become a better person, like, what is it? It's almost like as long as you became it, I guess that's good.
I think it's still like hand in hand. Like he wanted to date her and she was like, there's no way. And you can't just become a better person. You have to want it for sure.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like a little bit of Sirius leaving his family and kind of getting the brother that he never had. I don't know if he wanted a brother.
I have no idea. It's but, never said.
Growing altogether. Yeah.
Well, it's like that scene in Sabrina the Teenage Witch when Valerie comes over, and this is the 90s. Comedy version, not the Netflix scary version. Valerie comes over and is staying in Sabrina's room and she's like, oh, what's this? And it's the magic book. It's the book of spells. And Sabrina goes, no, it's mine. And she holds it to her chest. And Valerie goes, oh, that's right. You're an only child. Like, that's kind of how James was, probably. He was an only child to a very well-off family because he came from old money. That's why Harry has so much money.
Yeah.
It's because that's just what his life was.
Dang, man.
Yeah. So.
Good for that.
All right. I'm agreeing with this unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
All right. Here is another one. I don't think Dumbledore awarding all of those points to Gryffindor at the end of the first book was unfair. I do think it was a little cruel how he did it, that all the points to Neville weren't really necessary apart from foreshadowing. But I really think that after what Harry, Ron, and Hermione did, they really deserved those points. I'm sure the Slytherins worked hard to win the cup, but I'm also not sure none of them did anything near as big or as dangerous as foiling Voldemort's attempt in regaining a body. Also, Slytherin had just won the cup like 6 years in a row.
I do think it was cruel how Dumbledore divvied that out. It's definitely not the first cruel thing that, or the last cruel thing that Dumbledore does. You know, for being a headmaster, he's not really the smartest person, and we're dealing with children. I do think the Golden Trio deserved the points.
Yeah.
I definitely think Neville deserved the points.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I think Dumbledore could have handled it better.
Yes. Harry Potter.
We say that a lot.
It's Harry Potter and the way that Dumbledore should have probably handled this.
Screwed things up even more.
I do enjoy all the memes. I think the memes about Dumbledore giving Harry points all the time are fucking hilarious. Like, great job waking up today and getting to breakfast on time. 10 points to Harry. Like, I love those.
Nice glasses, Harry. 50 points.
Yes. I do think it's a kind of a meme to do it. I don't know, like, what's worse, him doing it in front of the entire school or him doing it, like, in private where nobody's watching?
But, I mean, like, aren't all of the points kind of, quote-unquote, like, private-ish? Like, they're probably, like, in front of a class or something.
Yeah.
But this wasn't during class time. Mm-hmm. So, like, when are you supposed to do it?
Yeah.
But also, out of all of these students, these four are the only ones to have done something outside of class that earned points.
Mm-hmm. At the last minute on the last day.
That seems sus.
Yeah. You're telling me that my boy, Cedric Diggory, who was in school at this time, he would have been 4 to 7. So he's a year.
He was a year above the twins.
He was a fourth. Yeah. So he was in his fourth year.
Yeah.
Because they were in their third.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're 7 when they're in 5. Oh, my God. The math.
So much math here.
You're telling me that Cedric Diggory didn't like open the fucking door for somebody 5 seconds before the feast began and Professor Sprout didn't give him a point?
Yes. Seriously. There's a lot of good students in this school. Mm-hmm. And not and one of them.
Yeah. Like not. Okay. Nobody else knew about the Sorcerer's Stone. Like they weren't supposed to know it. They knew about the Sorcerer's Stone because Harry was taken to the vault, see the thing taken out, and then happened to read the newspaper the next day.
Yes. It was like he was being set up for extra points already.
What if this is what Dumbledore's long game was? Not to raise him like a pig for slaughter with Voldemort, but just really so Gryffindor can always win.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? No, Slytherin's had their time. It's time to move out. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Harry to the bank. He's going to, hopefully, he'll make all the connections as to what this actually is. Yes. Hopefully he's paying attention.
Yeah, because we don't know how well he pays attention at this point in his life. No.
And we don't know what Hagrid is really doing. He's like, hey, Harry, wanna look at this shiny vault.
Ooh, isn't it so nice? It's very all empty except this one tiny little thing.
So weird. Can't tell you what it is. Bye.
All right. Here's one that I don't think is necessarily unpopular because you and I have talked about it in recent chapters. And I know we're going to keep bringing it up. Sirius is not a good role model. And is immature to a very annoying extent in book 5.
Yes and no. Because you and I have chatted about this a lot. Mm-hmm. One. Mm-hmm. Oh, my boy got issues. Okay. We all fall in love with the boy with issues. Maybe we can change him. We can't. But he's a bad boy with issues. Okay. I'm drawn to that.
He has a motorcycle.
I'm pretty sure he's got tattoos, too.
If he doesn't, we can go get one together. Let's get matching tattoos, but not couple tattoos.
In my brain. He's got a lot of tattoos in my brain.
Yes.
Yeah, Sirius does have issues, for real. Like, he definitely wants to make Harry James, especially in this book. And he really lashes out against Harry, who is a child. Mm-hmm. For not being his father and not being the boy that Sirius wants Harry to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is he annoying? At times. But aren't we all? I know I'm annoying. I posted something today on my Instagram story and it said, a goddess and a menace. And that is true.
Yes.
Everything in balance. Like, okay?
I saw that and I was like, can you get that tattooed like across my chest?
Yeah. Like, can we like do something with this, like make it a flower and with a knife going through it.
I totally agree. I do think that he's good in book 4 because he's on the run and
he's got distractions.
He does. He has more freedom because he kind of like just hang out in a cave with Buckbeak.
He can totally just like call his own shots. Like in book 4.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah. I do think, though, Order of the Phoenix, because of his circumstances, he is acting a certain way, and it is not in a positive light. He can't do therapy because he can't show that he's around. And
also,
there
it's
are
the 90s.
Yeah. The 90s.
Nobody
they're not
went to therapy in the 90s.
Nobody went to therapy in the 90s.
Yeah.
And like, there are some things that, like, I love you more than anything in this world. But there are some things it's just easier to talk about to a third party with no connection whatsoever.
Ooh, yes.
While you know your friends won't judge you, you still do feel like you're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. So that's why therapy is so important, because it's a third party with no connection whatsoever. And you can just talk about whatever. Even the people who are like, I don't
sort of.
Yeah. Even the people that are like, I don't need therapy. It's like, well, I think everybody should have therapy, even if you're going to talk to somebody about like a movie you saw. Like, just break it down. There's nothing wrong with it.
These people will talk to you or let you talk, and they will, you know, engage with you. And that's it's necessary as in the human brain to get that interaction.
Go pay someone to talk to you. Yes, we are social creatures. Yeah. Unfortunately, you do have to pay them. But, you know, maybe if therapy was free and available to people across the world, I don't know. Maybe we should allot some of that government money to therapists.
I feel like it's available for free for a lot of people, except for the U.S.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one. I've been thinking about a lot lately, and because it does tie into book five.
Yeah.
That Fudge was right about the seriously failing standards at Hogwarts School, considering all the wild things that went on while Harry was there. His response and the him lady, of course, were quite terrible, though. So I don't think that's wrong, because I do think every person should have somebody to keep them in line. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the government necessarily has to be the one to control what the schools are teaching, but like, they have a board of governors, the Hogwarts.
They do. That's where I'm super confused. I'm like, they do have someone that is supposed to be keeping it in line.
Mm-hmm.
Where have they been?
Where are the governors right now? Like, they were super prevalent in Chamber of Secrets because Lucius was on the board, and he was the one that like bullied the rest of them into getting rid of Hagrid.
Mm-hmm.
So where are they now that Umbridge is in?
Right. But on the other side, a lot of shit has gone down since Harry's been in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then we had the Triwizard Tournament on top of that. Where were the governors or the board? Where was the board on this? Yes, it was like an old time annual thing, but it hadn't been done in like, what was it, like 150 years?
Something bonkers like that.
For good reason.
Yes.
And then my child died while doing it.
And I still don't think that I like the fact that they were going to have the Triwizard Tournament and then Voldemort planned around that. It would make way more sense that Voldemort was the one that somehow like spoke into someone's ear about like if he imperiused Barty Crouch Sr. to suggest the Triwizard Tournament and then go from there. It makes way more sense for that to be the case than the government to just be like, yeah, we should have the Triwizard Tournament again.
Yeah.
It makes way more sense the other way around.
It does. Like now that you're talking, it like doesn't make sense that it wasn't written like that.
Yeah. Because I don't understand why the ministry just all of a sudden was like, you know what we should do? We should do that thing that a lot of people died from. We should probably do that.
But was it the government or was it the board of directors or board of governors, whatever they call it, that came up with it? I'm assuming it was board of governors.
Ministry. I think it's the ministry.
That came up with the Triwizard Tournament or doing it again?
I think so. Because I don't feel like the school governors have done anything. I don't ever remember talking about them since book two.
Right. But I didn't think the government had anything to do with Hogwarts until this book.
Let me look it up.
Me too. Let's see what our Google searches come up with. All right. This is going to be really difficult because it just keeps saying the goblet chooses the champions. I'm like, no, not like that. A revival of the tournament occurred in 1994. Barty Crouch Sr., head of the Ministry of Magic Department, blah, 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 in conjunction with Ludo Bagman, worked their opposite numbers and entries to revive their tournament.
Okay,
so it was the government. And it was Barty Crouch Sr., so it could have been Barty Crouch Jr. kind of dropping little hints
yeah.
in his dad's ear. You know, it'd be so fun, Dad, killing children.
It'd be like so fun.
Just one in particular.
Just one that's kind of a dick. It would have made the best sense then to make that very obvious that Barty Crouch Jr. was just telling his dad to do this totally. Because of. And I don't think it was that obvious.
Yeah.
All right. I think this one's kind of cool. Lily defeated Voldemort first. Harry just finished the job.
I mean, that's true, right?
Is it though?
Because her spell.
Her love.
Her love spell. But not like yeah. that. Not the Victoria's Secret perfume. But her spell protecting Harry ultimately mm-hmm. through love did bring down Voldy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It severely maimed him.
Do you think that she knew that though? That it was going to do all of that?
I really want to say yes, because Lily okay. was really fucking smart. She was like Hermione smart in my brain. She was muggle-born, Hermione. Super into books, Hermione. Always kept the trio in line, Hermione. Like, Hermione and Lily, they're like almost the same person,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I bet that she knew Voldy was coming. Even James knew that Voldy was coming. He knew that they were targeted, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she was like, there's no way for us to stop Voldemort. So what can we do to really slow him down? And we have to think like old magic, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people, and even in today's like world, like you and me, we don't think about what they used to do in the olden days that might work better than what we're doing now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think she took this like off Google and she went to the library, just like Hermione. She was like, what old magic can I use against Voldy?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I want to look up her death and what did she actually do? Because wasn't a spell, or was she just saying, like, literally putting herself in front of her child saying, you'll have to kill me to get to the baby?
Pretty much. I think it was like a unspoken type deal where she just placed Harry in the crib and stood in front of him.
Mm-hmm. It does say Harry Potter fandom for Lily's death. Because Lily's death was a pure loving sacrifice, she intended to die and wasn't hoping to save herself despite having the choice to. Harry was marked with the protection of her love, and Voldemort's killing curse rebounded off of the 1-year-old.
So it's called a sacrificial love charm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look this up. Is that what you saw on your side?
Sacrificial protection, yeah.
Okay.
2 hours later.
A lot of people are saying she did not know, but I want to say she did.
In order for the protection to form, the would-be killer must give the victim the option to live, but the victim must consciously and willingly choose death. This is why James Potter's death did not confer magical protection on Harry and Lily, as Voldemort was setting upon killing James and thus never gave him the opportunity to choose to save himself. On the other hand, Lily was offered the chance to step aside because Voldemort had promised Snape that he would not kill her unless she got in the way. Her conscious refusal to comply with Voldemort's demand is why unusually strong magic protection was conferred upon her son.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I didn't think about that way. Because, yeah, he mm-hmm. was dead set on, like, mm-hmm. just getting rid of James as soon as possible. But
mm-hmm.
I forgot that he gave Lily the opportunity. But I mm-hmm. will say that motherly instinct to just give up your child is so strong that it's like unfeasible to mothers. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. He was just setting her up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Which set him up for failure.
The last one I have is Book Ron is one of the best and most realistic characters in the series. Hard agree. Hard.
Yeah.
Great. He yeah. is incredibly realistic. He and Percy, I feel, are the most true IRL people as far as the good guys.
Yeah.
Umbridge is the bad one.
Totally. Like Percy, he's going for ultimate perfection, which is a good amount of people on this earth. They do strive for ultimate perfection. They want the absolute best. They work very hard. So that is very realistic. And then Ron, he's so flawed that like 100% of us are that. He always seems to say the wrong things. He's not a great student. He's living in the shadow of so many siblings that he's just trying to shine his own light, which so many of us are, for sure. Not a lot of us have the most like popular friend ever. So that part's not too realistic, but the rest of him is, for sure, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely. There are moments where I'm like, Ron should not have done that or said that, but it's because like I'm thinking of baby Abby, and if she would have said or something like that, and I'm just like speaking to my younger self. But everything that Ron does is like, yeah, that would absolutely happen in real life. Like he knows. Yeah.
We all read the books through Harry's eyes, kind of third person. But so we all want to think that we are Harry because that's just how we're reading it. But ultimately, when we see Ron, we're like, yeah, that's probably us. You know, he made a lot of mistakes just like the rest of us. And he tried to do good out of those mistakes. And ultimately, at the very end, he is a super good character. He's a good guy. That we can all relate to. That's what we strive to be through the mistakes and whatever.
Yep. And in one of the more recent chapters we covered, when they're all at the Great Hall and Hermione's like, come on, let's leave. And Ron's like, I'm not done with my pie.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go. That's the most realistic part of the whole series. Like,
really like, pretty girl. Who is a friend? I will go leave my pie.
I guess I'm done with my pie.
Fine.
I only had two slices before this, but yeah, I guess we'll wrap this up.
I'm a growing boy, Hermione. I was planning on at least four.
Yes. Fucking rude. So, all right. That's what I got.
I love that.
Just fun little unpopulars.
Yeah.
Do you have any unpopular opinions that you can think of about the Harry Potter universe?
Ooh. I'm going to Google this real quick. Unpopular opinions. Here's one. Unpopular opinion about Hermione. She's self-righteous and arrogant. She's very self-focused. She's an only child. It definitely shows. Technically, Harry's only child, but not in the sense that Hermione is an only child. She has a lot handed to her, so she thinks she's right all the time. And if
does
you
she
ever
have a lot handed to her?
Well, money for one, compared to Ron, she has everything. She's very book smart, which just comes naturally to her. It doesn't come naturally to a lot of people, but to her it does. If you heard me and Abby talk about it before, where she might not have like the best home life, but with that, she might have more handed to her in a good way and a bad way. Like she has more responsibility handed to her. So she thinks more like an adult would. So she's not like that ultimate child. But on the flip side of that, the bad part about it is that she's like a 14-year-old trying to speak like an adult, and it doesn't really come out the greatest, you know?
Yeah. I got one for you. I think Peeves is annoying.
He is.
And when he was not included in the movie, I was not upset by that at all.
Totally. Yeah. I really don't understand the need for Peeves. Like, maybe to learn about the differences between a poltergeist versus a ghost.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was necessary at all. And I am glad that he was not included.
Yep.
I think he had like a hint of a spark in the first movie.
I don't think
it was.
But
then they wrote it out, or they took it out.
I think he was going to be in the first movie, and then they nixed it.
Or too many ghosts here. And then, like, the stupid author, she was like, but he's not a ghost, he's a poltergeist.
Like, okay.
No.
We're still not doing it.
There's too many ghostly floaties around here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another one. Most of your quote-unquote nice characters aren't actually nice, and most of them have bullied someone at least once or twice in their lives or has done some very questionable moral stuff. Example, Hagrid gave Kid Dudley a pig's tail because he was offended by Vernon's words. Ginny bat bogeyed hexed other students and was a total dick to Fleur. Molly was an asshat to Hermione and Fleur. And almost all of them looked down on Neville. I don't know if I would say that completely, that they looked down on Neville.
They looked down on Luna, I feel like, because she's so different.
Yeah.
But maybe not as well included.
Yeah.
For Neville.
And then the other one is Lupin almost yeeted himself out of his responsibility with his son and wife. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
He did it on the sense of like, oh, I don't want them to grow up to be a werewolf and I'm a bad dad. I'm going to be a bad dad. It's like, bish.
You should not have partaked in this then.
Well, I won't go that far. I would have just said like, I don't know.
If he didn't want to be around Tonks and ultimately have a baby, he should not have married Tonks.
There's a lot of things I would have to search to find the thing. The comment on Reddit, but it talks about like how that whole romance is like totally just shoved down our throats and like not organic and all of that, which I think is interesting because I do think I have theories on their relationships, which is just based on the people and my characterization of the characters, like Tonks being
metamorphosis.
I think that Lupin is maybe not 100% straight, but was made to, I can't be the gay werewolf. Like I can be gay or I can be a werewolf and I can't change the werewolf. So I'll just act as straight as possible. And then maybe Tonks like metamorphs into other people to make Lupin feel really good in bed.
I feel like that's yucky though. If she's metamorphosing into specific people.
Yeah.
It feels super cringy.
It's a little gray on the consentiness.
Yeah, it's cringy.
Yes. But like if you just see like top layer stuff of their relationship, like it doesn't really feel like it fits totally well.
Organic. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're also seeing this through the eyes of a 17-year-old boy.
We can only go so far.
Yes.
Here's one. Harry had a right to be angry. He's not just a moody teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The boy's parents 100%. Died. Then he was bullied hard from his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got to school, everybody looked at him like he was a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Here's a good one to end on.
Okay.
Let's say he's not a Death Eater. And if you didn't listen to that episode, go back. Rubius Hagrid was more like Harry's father than any other character. I think so.
The only one I would put in competition with that is Arthur.
Totally. Yeah. Arthur. Yes. Hagrid. Right up there with him, though.
Mm-hmm.
He cared so much about Harry. Like, he, even during school, he was always right there. Mm-hmm. He was like, come by my house for tea. He's making cookies. He's just doing everything that he can to hang out with Harry as much as possible, which I love. And Arthur did not do that.
Correct. Now, Arthur...
I think Arthur did a good job when Harry was with him, but he didn't necessarily go out of his way.
Right. Did Arthur and Molly even ever like send letters to the kids other than that howler?
Not that we heard.
No. So, all right.
I mean, as mother of teenagers, I totally get it because the kids will come downstairs. And if I don't say hi first, no hi's are being said. I'm like, I'm right here. You just pushed me out of the way to get to the fridge. Hello. How are you?
It's supposed to be a two-way highway.
Yeah.
But after, like, it's a full school year,
which they do send Christmas presents, and they do know that they are coming home for Christmas or not coming home for Christmas holidays. So maybe letters were sent that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Again, we saw through Harry's eyes, so maybe there were letters that were not discussed with us.
He is not observant.
He has his moments.
He has severe tunnel vision on a lot of things.
The famous quote by Harry Potter, "My body's gone. No shit. Wearing an invisibility cloak, man."
Yeah. "Sir, what did you think was going to be happening?"
Hilarious.
Although he did not know that that was an invisibility cloak when he put it on.
Okay. Yes, that is very true. Yes.
He just was like, "Oh, clothes.
A very fancy robe. Oh, my body's gone."
All right. Send us your hot takes. For the Harry Potter community and fandom. Want to hear them.
For sure. Yeah, cool.
So stay with me.
Until the very end.
Bye. What's up, witches? A huge shout out to all of our listeners. You all mean so much to us. To help support us, please tell all of your Harry Potter friends all about us. And be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You can reach out to us on Instagram at UntilTheVeryEndPod, Twitter at UntilTheVeryPod, and our email at UntilTheVeryEndPodcast@gmail.com. You can also head over to our link tree at /UntilTheVeryEndPodcast for all of our social medias. Bye!